Good morning. Come on, let's give God a hand praise because he's just been good. We are so blessed to be here and just delighted to worship you, worship with you guys again, and you guys at Mimosa Lane. We are always feel so welcome. We always feel like family. And speaking of which, I know Bob has got a lot to do, and I'm looking for him. He is around here somewhere. There you are. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, now, since I'm family now, amen, we can dispense with all the formalities, right? All right, no more pastor, amen, reverend, that's unacceptable, right? Dr. Brown, right? I'm just Al, amen? Is that cool? Is that cool? Right? Right? Is that cool? Is that all right? I haven't offended anybody, right? Right? And as we used to say, where I come from, you people and I'm people, let's just get together. Amen? That's right. Let's do it that way. All right. So no more of that. And then when y'all get angry with me, just say, hey, fool, come over here and let me talk to you. Yeah, we're so blessed to have my lovely wife and children. Amen. Amen. They're back there in the back. And for those, amen. So grateful for them to be in my life. And the reason why they're sitting back there in the back and I'm in the front is because they're no longer claiming me. No, I'm joking. But they do feel that way from time to time. They will be glad to tell you, let me tell you. And so we're blessed today to be here, and we just want to share with you from God's word. Amen? Amen. Amen. Those of you with your Bibles, go with me to Isaiah chapter 40, please. And we will be coming back to worship with you guys on a day when I am not preaching. Amen? We don't just want to show up when I get invited to preach. Amen? We want to worship with you all. Amen? Amen? Because we feel like we are a part of the Mimosa Lane Church. Amen? And we thank God for our pastor. Amen? The Reverend Dr. Rocky Pope. Let's give God a hand praise for him. I know what you're thinking. Al, you just said none of that reverend stuff, none of that doctor stuff, right? Well, you done found me out. I am a hypocrite. Amen. That's right. And I think we ought to acknowledge great men when they're alive. Amen. When we speak of Martin Luther King Jr., we speak of the Reverend Doctor, do we not? And when we speak of Billy Graham, we speak of the Reverend Doctor, William Graham. And I think that when we speak of our pastor, we ought to think of him in the same light. Amen. Because he's a great man. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Isaiah chapter 40. And Isaiah chapter 40. This is a powerful text of scripture. And I am more than convinced that I will not do it justice today. But this is what the Spirit of God has placed upon my heart to share with you. Amen. Verse 28. When you get there, say praise the Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. I can still hear some pages turning, so we want to be patient. Amen. We don't want to rush the Spirit of God. Amen. So good to see the young people. Amen. You guys are just beautiful. Amen. You are. You are. You're beautiful, you know. And I just my brother said thank you on the front row. That's right. That's right. That's right. And we're so proud of all our young people. We just want to see you go out and do great things for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. The Bible reads, it says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Ah, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. they shall walk and not faint. Amen. This morning, for a few moments, we feel led to preach and teach from the subject, Be Encouraged. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that our eyes have seen. We thank you for all that our ears have heard. We thank you, Lord God, for just blessing us with the ability to just be here, to be present and accounted for in worship, O God. We ask a special blessing upon all those, O God, who wanted to be here but could not. And we ask a special blessing upon those, O God, who should have been here but are not. Bless us now in this preaching moment. Speak to us, to all of your people. This is what we pray from your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Be encouraged. Now, when we look at the world that we're living in today, it seems like we're always in one calamity after another. We've heard the promises from last year's campaign speech. It's time for a change, and change you can believe in. It's time for a change, and we can do better. And when we look back at the situation that we were in last year versus this year, for all practical intents and purposes, it feels like we're in the same situation. And then when we look at our personal lives, it seems like we're in one dilemma right after another dilemma. It seems like we're always being threatened on our jobs, that they're going to be downsizing and there's a possibility that you could lose your job. And then when we look at our family lives and our family structures and our immediate situations in our household, it seems like there's always a problem in our families. You know, cousin so-and-so is thinking about divorcing his spouse or her spouse. And uncle so-and-so is in jail again, you know. Then there's that other relative who's out on drugs and in some sort of trouble with the law. And we recognize that we're always in some sort of trouble. And it's as if to add insult to injury, when we come to the house of the Lord, the church, the place where we're supposed to find a refuge for our problems, if you will, the place where we're supposed to find comfort in the time of our necessity, there's always still yet a storm brewing in the church. Can I get a witness? Amen. Right. But my brothers and my sisters, I come here to Mimosa Lane Baptist Church with encouraging words. I've come here this morning with good news. In spite of your circumstances, in spite of your situation, you can still be encouraged. For the people that we read about here in Isaiah chapter 40, they were in a situation that they brought upon themselves. Their wounds were self-inflicted. God told his people, I want you to be holy. I want you to be devoted and dedicated to me. I don't want you to be going out here and worshiping other gods and idol gods. And they did just the opposite of what God told them to do. They went out and they worshiped idol gods. They went out and they worshiped false gods. They went out and they sinned against God on every hill and every mountain. They did everything under the sun they were not supposed to be doing. So God in his wrath and God in his anger, he decided that he was going to chastise his people. He decided that he was going to punish his people. And when he punished them and when he chastised them, they sort of kind of woke up and realized, okay, we brought this mess upon ourselves. And consequently, God had to raise up a preacher. He had to raise up a prophet and encourage them in spite of their circumstances. The context of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 really starts in verse 27. Look at verse 27. The Bible says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. In other words, they had come to a place in their lives where they felt like God was no longer hearing their prayers. They had come to a place in their lives where they felt like God was no longer interested in their circumstances. My brothers and my sisters, I'm here to let you know that if you're in that place this morning, you are dead wrong. You need to be encouraged today, because God loves you, God cares about you, and it may feel like he's not doing anything to work on your behalf, but in fact, if you'll just trust him by faith, you'll see that he's been working the whole time. In fact, if you continue to trust him and if you continue to walk with him by faith, you'll look back on these very circumstances and you'll conclude logically that he was there with me all the time. My brothers and my sisters, just because you gave your life to Jesus Christ, it does not mean that you're not going to encounter trouble. It does not mean that you're not going to make mistakes. It does not mean that you're not going to encounter any problems in your life. But what it does mean is that when you do make your mistakes, God is going to be with you. When you do encounter your problems, God is going to be with you. When you do go through your difficulties, God is going to be with you. Do not ever say, my way is hidden from the Lord. Young people, don't ever fool yourself into thinking, well, God really doesn't care about me. Don't ever fool yourself into thinking, well, God is really not concerned about what I'm dealing with. Don't ever fool yourself into thinking that God has left me down here all alone. He's with you even when it feels like or does not feel like he is with you. My way is hidden from the Lord. My brothers and sisters, there are four reasons why you and I can be encouraged today when we look at this text. The first reason is found in verse 28. The text says, have you not known and have you not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? Let me tell you why you ought to be encouraged. Number one, because God does not get tired. God does not get tired. God does not get tired. Now, I know what we think psychologically. We think, okay, God, I got myself in a mess last month and I called upon your precious name and you delivered me last month. And then, God, last year I got myself in another mess and I called upon your precious name and you delivered me from that mess. Okay, and God, and you know, remember last week when I had that situation and I asked you for your help again and you delivered me from that situation? You must be getting tired of me calling upon your holy and righteous name. Put that stuff out of your mind right now. God does not get tired of you. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that he does not sleep, neither does he slumber. You may be worried about the economy right now. You may be worried about whether or not you're going to keep your job. You may be worried about what's going on in your home life. But my brothers and my sisters, let me ask you something. If God is going to stay up all night thinking about you, why in the world would you stay up all night thinking about your problem? Yeah, he does not get tired. It was in your Bible before I got here. You know I didn't make it up. Look, I'm good. I'm not that good. I just can't put stuff in your Bible. Oh, no. No. The Bible says he does not faint, neither is he weary. Now, you and I, we get tired. You and I, we get weary. You and I, we get irritated on our jobs. So let me tell you something. It's God's job not to get irritated. It's God's responsibility not to get tired. My brothers and my sisters, you can be encouraged today. You may be in a marriage and where you're tired of going through the same thing over and over and over again. But don't you worry about it. Because although you get tired, he doesn't. Amen. He does not get tired. Don't let the devil fool you into thinking, well, you know what? I shouldn't call upon the Lord right now because after all, I got myself into this mess and I need to get myself out of it. That's the American way, right? We're self-sufficient. We're strong. And I'm proud to be an American, right? We have this tendency of thinking, well, you know, we reap what we sow. And that's true. I made this bed. Therefore, I'm going to lay in this bed. Well, you may have made that bed. But as you lay in that bed, you ought to ask God to help you deal with the circumstances that you created. He does not get tired. Don't fool yourself into thinking that. Right? We have this expression we often use, well, we need to put legs on our prayers. Let me let you in on a secret. Sometimes you can't put legs on your prayers. Sometimes your hands are literally tied. Sometimes your back is up against the wall, and the only thing you can do is say, Lord, I need you to help me. Now, I'm not going to promise you that he's going to do what you want him to do, but I can assure you that he'll hear you when you call upon his holy and righteous and blessed name. There is a second reason why you and I can be encouraged today. Not only because God is not getting tired, but notice if you will, verse 28. It says, have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary, and his understanding is unsearchable. There it is right there. His understanding is unsearchable. The second reason why you and I can be encouraged today is because he knows everything. He knows everything. He knows every single detail of your life. Your situation is not hidden from him. Your problem is not hidden from him. There are no details that he doesn't know about. It's not like you're holding all the cards to yourself and you're afraid to disclose the information to him for fear of what he might say. Let me let you in on a secret. He knows what you're going to do before you do it. He knows what you're going to think before you think it. He knows what mistake you're going to make before you make it. His understanding is unsearchable. You can't measure how much understanding he has. You can't give God a quote unquote test. Okay, Jesus, let me give you a quiz and see if you can get them all right. No, he already knows. He already knows. It may feel like he doesn't know sometimes. It may look like he doesn't know sometimes. But that is a lie from the very pit of hell itself. He knows everything. We sometimes think theologically about predestination. And sometimes what we conclude is, well, you know, God has predetermined that you and I would be saved. That is, he looked into the future and he decided that I was going to receive Jesus and you were going to receive Jesus. And based upon that, he predetermined our salvation. That's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. Let me let you in on a secret. If he has to peek into the future to figure out what you're going to do, guess what? That means at some point he doesn't know. No, he knows, he knows, he knows, he knows, he knows. And I got some good news for you. Since he knows about the mess that you're in, he already knows how he's going to get you out of it. He already knows. These people, the people of Isaiah's day that he was preaching to, they got themselves in a mess that they couldn't get themselves out of. And they figured, well, we got ourselves in this mess and my way is hidden from the Lord. He's not going to do anything. He's not going to respond to my situation. He's not going to respond to my circumstances. I might as well just deal with it. And God had to raise up a preacher. He had to raise up a prophet by the name of Isaiah to remind them. His understanding is unsearchable. His understanding is so deep that it has no bottom. There are no boundaries to his understanding. There are no limits to the mind of God. He knows everything. And if he knows everything, then my goodness, you better believe that he knows what he's going to do about it. You may not know what you're going to do about it, but he knows. He knows. There is a third reason why you and I should be encouraged. Not only because God doesn't get tired, and not only because he knows everything, but in verse 29, the Bible says he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. The third reason why you and I should be encouraged today is because he has given you and I the power to deal with whatever situation we are in. You know, one of the many lies that we tell in our culture, our American culture, is that we're all victims. Amen? Have you ever noticed that? Everybody in America is a victim. It never fails, you know. And I'm not picking on anybody who's in the financial industry, you know. But these guys have gone out and they made millions of dollars. You know what I mean? Millions of dollars, right? And they're even victims. Victims of the economy. The banks that they run, they laid off employees, right? The economy has gone downhill. They made millions of dollars, and they're victims. Well, it's not my fault that I made millions of dollars, and the business itself is collapsing. Everybody's a victim. Have you ever noticed that? Everybody's a victim. My brothers and my sisters, if you and I belong to Jesus Christ, and we do, we're not victims. Yes, things come into our lives that we don't like. Circumstances occur that we don't necessarily have control of. But you and I are not victims. The Bible says right here that he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. My brothers and my sisters, you are not a victim. Because you belong to Christ Jesus, you've been made more than a conqueror, the Bible says. The Bible says, Paul said, when he was in jail, when he was under house arrest, if you will, and he wrote the church in Philippi, you know what he said? He said, I am a victim. No, that's not what he said. What he said was, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's what he said. The reason why you and I can be encouraged today is because God has given us the power to deal with the circumstances that we're in. No matter how miserable, no matter how unbearable, and no matter how awful they may be. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God will make a way for you to bear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that's what it says. There is nothing that can happen to you in your life for which God has not already prepared you, for which God has not already made provisions, for which God has not already given you power and the anointing, if you will, to specifically address. What am I saying? Al, what do you mean? This is what I mean. If God has brought you to it, then he's going to give you the power to bring you through it. There is a fourth and final reason why you and I can be encouraged today. It's found in verse 31. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's review here. The first reason is because God doesn't get tired. You can be encouraged because he's not tired of hearing what you have to say. The second reason is because he knows everything. His understanding is unsearchable. The third reason is because he gives power to those who need it. And the last reason is because he gives us all a promise. All a promise. The promise right there in verse 31. So precious are his promises. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Can I share something with you? This is going to go against everything that we as Americans believe. What in the world should I do about the situation I'm in? Let me tell you what you ought to do. Wait. We're not accustomed to waiting in America. You don't believe me? Go stand in the McDonald's line down the street and around the corner. See how long those people are going to wait for their hamburgers or their Big Macs or whatever it is they order. Right? We are people who do things with our hands. That's the nature of our culture. Okay, I need some information. Let me get on the internet and figure it out here. Right? I got some business I need to take care of. Let me get in the car and just run down the street and go do this and do that. No. It doesn't work like that all the time. Especially in the kingdom of God. You got to learn how to wait. Sometimes God ties our hands. You know why? Because he wants us to wait. And my wife will be the first to tell you, I have messed up many a situation with my good intentions because I thought I knew what needed to be done. I would have been much better off if I had just shut my mouth and crossed my legs and just waited on the Lord. And can I share something with you? Let me tell you what's going to happen. You get in that situation and you get involved in it and you start doing stuff, right? You know what that means? It means you're just going to have to wait longer. That's what it means. You're going to have to wait long. I'm telling you, I've been there. You think you know, and you're going to get in there and fix this and fix that. You're fixing another mess that you're going to have to wait on God to get you out of. Wait. If you're here today and you're frustrated with your spouse and you don't know what to do, hey, be quiet and just wait on the Lord. Just wait. If you're so right and she or he is so wrong, wait on him to touch her heart or touch his heart. Right? Listen, me and my wife have been together 19 years, right? That's not very long by some of y'all standards, right? But that's a lot longer than most people last, I think. And I've been a pastor, and I know, let me tell you. And it's amazing how we have each gone through that phase in our marriage where we thought, well, you know what, if Lord Jesus, if you would just fix him. That's what she was thinking. And I was thinking, well, Lord Jesus, if you would just make her act right. You see that? Right? All you got to do is wait. That's all you got to do is wait. And you know what the worst thing in the world about waiting is? waiting itself. That is the worst thing. How long do I have to wait? You know what I mean? And I don't want to exhaust my time here in any way whatsoever, but I find myself doing this. Okay, Jesus. You know what I mean? That's the worst thing in the world. Wait. But notice what he says here. He says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word renew in the Hebrew, you know what it means? It literally means exchange. See, when you and I wait on the Lord, you know what happens? What he does is he takes our feeble strength away from us. And he exchanges it with his awesome strength. Amen. So we're no longer dealing with the situation in our own strength. But we're dealing with it in his might, in his strength, in his ability. Notice the promise. It says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and then they shall mount up with wings like eagles. Amen. I tell you, the Lord has blessed me when I've waited on him to soar over the situation, to give me a bird's eye view. And show me, see, I had it all worked out the whole time. I just needed you to trust me by not messing it up and making it worse, right? They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. Can you imagine what that's like? You know, when I was younger, I played a lot of sports. And I tell you, when those coaches got mad, you know what they did? That's right, they made you run. So they couldn't punch you in the face, that wasn't going to work. Okay, so the way they took out their pain, their anger upon you, they made you run. I mean, we ran up and down that gym so many times. Then we'd throw up, and he'd say, get up and keep running. When I was on the wrestling team, they made us run and run and run and run. When I was on the football team, they made us run and run and run and run and run and run. But you know what? The Bible says when God gives you his power and his strength, you'll be able to run and not get tired. Run and not get tired. Can you imagine that, right? They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. There are some situations I've been in, I felt like I'm just going to pass out. Okay, Lord, I can't take this. You know I got my limits, Jesus. I'm done. It's over. As we say in our contemporary culture, young people, as we say in our contemporary hip-hop culture, you are familiar with the expression, I'm tired of this. Let's bounce. You ever felt like that? Be in a situation at work or whatever. You say, I'm tired of this. It's time for me to just bounce. I got to get up out of here, Jesus. I can't take it, right? He says, when you wait on the Lord, you'll walk and not faint. My brothers and my sisters, wait on the Lord. Trust in him. Whatever it is, he can work it out. Now, he may not work it out exactly the way you want him to work it out, but you give him time and let him do what he wants to do. God bless y'all. Pastor.